Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 5 at 19,887. S&P 500 up 4 at 2,274. NASDAQ Composite up 26 at 5,574. Russell 2000 small and mid caps up 10 at 1,372. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points at 2.38%. Oil down 54 cents at $53.30 per barrel. Gold up $1.80 at $1,197.80 per ounce. For the week, the Dow and S&P posted slight declines, but the NASDAQ rose nearly 1%, posting its sixth record-high close of 2017. Commerce Department says retail sales increased 0.6% last month. November retail sales were revised up to show a 0.2% rise instead of the previously reported 0.1% gain. Sales were up 4.1% from December 2015. They rose 3.3% for all of 2016, up 2.3% in 2015. Excluding automobiles, gasoline, building materials, and food services, retail sales rose 0.2% after being flat in November. For the 11th straight year, sales at department stores fell. They dropped 5.6% in 2016 to mark the second largest decline since the government began keeping track in the early 1990s. They've dropped in 15 out of the last 17 years. At the same time, sales at so-called non-store retailers soared 11.4% in 2016. That's the largest gain in 10 years. That category also includes some fuel dealers that benefited from higher gasoline prices, but online sales have been growing rapidly since the late 1990s. Wholesale inflation rose in December, and the yearly increase surged. The producer price index up 0.3% in December compared to a year ago. The index rose 1.6%. It's the strongest gain since September 2014. Excluding food, energy, and trade, prices up 1.7%. China has stepped up efforts to restrict yuan outflows by asking some banks to stop processing cross-border payments until they're balanced on both sides. Data released overnight showed the country's exports remain tepid, with overseas shipments dropping 6.1%, while imports rose 3.1%, leaving a $40 billion trade surplus. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said that she sees no serious short-term obstacles to the U.S. economy and that inflation is pretty close to policymakers' 2% target. She also defended the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act, which the incoming administration has said they will seek to dismantle. The House voted 227 to 198 today to instruct committees to draft legislation by a target date of January 27th that would repeal Obamacare. The Senate approved the same measure early Thursday. This earnings season marks a break with long-held tradition. Aluminum giant Alcoa, ticker AA, will no longer be the first company to post earnings following its split into two companies. This is a big day for the big banks to report their fourth quarter earnings. Thomson Reuters tracked consensus estimates for the fourth quarter of 2016. They're calling for a 6.1% year-over-year increase in S&P 500 earnings. And while we still watch individual earnings reports, stock exchanges are increasingly getting out of the stock trading business. Individual shares no longer are the most actively traded securities in the market. That distinction goes to exchange-traded funds, which took in a record $400 billion in the past year to become a $3.8 trillion industry. There are nearly 2,000 ETF listings. It's an all-time high. Today, the Spider S&P Bank ETF, KBE is the ticker, rose 1.1%, helping lift the broader financial sector. That said, the most traded security is still a stock. 108 million shares of Bank of America change hands on average per day. More today. Bank of America this morning reported adjusted quarterly earnings that beat estimates, but revenue that missed. B of A posted a near 50% jump in fourth quarter profit due to cost cuts and higher trading revenue. Dow component J.P. Morgan beat on earnings and revenue. Earnings per share rose to $1.71 from $1.32 on revenue of more than $23.9 billion. Revenue from fixed income trading, J.P. Morgan's most volatile business, rose 31% to $3.4 billion, while stock trading revenue increased 8% to $1.2 billion. Wells Fargo posted fourth-quarter results that missed on the top and bottom lines. The bank is coming off one of the most difficult years in its 165-year history, posting its fifth consecutive decline in quarterly earnings. The bank has been dealing with multiple lawsuits and a sharp drop in account openings after it settled with regulators in September over charges that its employees created 2 million accounts without customers' consent. One troubling line from the earnings report showed December credit card openings fell by a whopping 43% from a year earlier and a 7% drop from the previous month. This echoes the similarly bad third-quarter performance. And on the deposit account side, checking account openings were similarly down 40% from December 2015. Morgan Stanley laying off bankers and cutting bonuses. The investment bank laid off an undisclosed number of senior bankers and slashed bonuses by 15% as a result of a decline in revenue generated by deal-making. BlackRock, the world's biggest asset manager, reported adjusted quarterly earnings that beat expectations while revenue missed. Investors poured $88 billion into the company's market-tracking index investments and its iShares exchange-traded funds during the quarter, while pulling $546 million from funds managed actively by portfolio managers. What emissions cheating? Fiat shares rebounded today after dipping 16% on Thursday in the wake of a U.S. regulator's accusation that it had violated emissions laws. The EPA accused Fiat Chrysler of using software to allow excess diesel emissions. The notice affects over 100,000 cars, including trucks and SUVs, and the maximum fine that could be imposed would total $4.6 billion. Fiat Chrysler shares bounced back up by more than 6% this morning on the stock's 600. Six current and former Volkswagen managers were indicted and arrested in the U.S. this week for their role in the German carmaker's diesel test cheating scheme. VW has a solution to the problem. They're telling senior managers to stop traveling to the U.S. Tesla announced in November it was doing away with unlimited free charging at its supercharger stations, but it just revealed the new pricing guidelines for those who purchase vehicles after January 15th. Tesla owners will get 400 kilowatt hours of supercharging credits, it's about 1,000 miles worth, for free each year. However, pricing for anything more than that will be dependent on the state or county. A trip from San Francisco to L.A., that would cost about $15, while L.A. to New York would cost around $120. Tomorrow, SpaceX is hoping to get back to launching and landing its rockets again, a little over 4 months after one of its Falcon 9 vehicles exploded on a Florida launch pad. Last week's planned launch was postponed due to inclement weather. The Environmental Protection Agency is finalizing ahead of schedule greenhouse gas emissions standards that call for automakers to achieve a fleet-wide average of 55 miles per gallon, which is only about 40 miles per gallon in combined city or highway driving by the year 2025. The mileage rules, which were issued initially by the EPA in 2012 in conjunction with the Department of Transportation's Corporate Average Fuel Economy, or CAFE, standards, were set to be subject to review by April 2018. The new emission standards began to take effect with the 2017 model year. The final years of the mandate will see a required average of more than 55 miles per gallon for cars and about 40 miles per gallon for trucks in 2025. CVS is now selling a rival generic version of Mylan's EpiPen at about a sixth of its price. You may recall a few months ago, Mylan execs were called before Congress and ripped for price gouging on the life-saving allergy treatment. Mylan had raised the price more than 500% since 2007. After the bad press, Mylan cut the price to $300 for a two-pack of its own generic version, but still charges $600 for the EpiPen version. CVS says it'll charge $109 for a two-pack of the authorized generic version of Adrenaclick. And for some customers who still need financial assistance, they're offering a coupon for a $100 discount. Baby boomers, your millennial children are worse off than you. With a median household income of $40,581, millennials earn 20% less than boomers did at the same stage of life, despite being better educated. According to new research from the Federal Reserve, millennials have half the net worth of boomers, their home ownership rate is lower, while their student debt is drastically higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 5 at 19,887. S&P 500 up 4 at 2,274. And the NASDAQ Composite up 26 at a record high close, 5,574. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog is eatthebankers.com. You'll find text, audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com.